Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, where Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Please be seated. In last week's Gospel text, Jesus was teaching the crowds when a man asked out of the crowd. He wanted Jesus to tell his brother to share the family inheritance with him. Well, rather than be the arbitrator, Jesus gave the man a stern warning, saying, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." From there, Jesus went on to tell the parable of the rich fool. A rich man had a bountiful harvest, so bountiful he didn't have enough barns to store all his grain. So he had a plan. He was going to tear down all his barns and build new ones so that he could store all his grain and all his worldly goods. But Jesus calls the man a fool, for he laid up his treasure on earth while not setting his mind on the things that are above, such as God's heavenly treasures that the Lord promises to all who believe. Our gospel text this morning is a continuation of that parable as Jesus turns his focus away from the crowd to his disciples so that he can teach them and teach you and me the dangers of the sin of anxiety and the perils of the sin of worrying about the things of this world. Jesus says, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Well, of course, none of us can add a single hour. We cannot even add a single moment. Being anxious is a trap. Anxiety is just one of Satan's many tools that he uses to take your eyes off of your Heavenly Father, who daily and richly provides for all of your needs. The devil causes anxiety and worry to well up within you in all aspects of your life, tempting you to not trust in God's promises, most especially his promised provision for your life. The devil tempts you to lay up an abundant treasure for yourself here on earth, distracting you from that treasure you have in Christ Jesus, distracting you from setting your mind on the treasures in heaven that our Lord has promised you. Now, before I go any further, I need to clarify the sin of anxiety and worry. There are a host of phobias and anxieties and panic disorders, and those are not what Jesus is talking about in our text. He is, rather, describing the anxiety of being self-centered, self-worrying about your own life and taking stock only in yourself, being unduly concerned about your life and your possessions while attempting to find security in all the different things that you accumulate for yourself in this world. You and I worry and are anxious nearly every day. You're anxious about having groceries to put into your cupboards, and whether you have enough meat in the freezer so you won't have a moment go by when you're not hungry. You worry and are anxious about having clothing and shoes to keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. You want clothing that's fashionable, not embarrassing to wear in public. And let's not forget about a comfortable home to protect you from harsh weather and also from intruders with bad intent. But you weren't always that way. You weren't always anxious about what you were going to eat or where you were going to sleep. You didn't fuss and fret over what was in the cupboards or in the refrigerator. You didn't concern yourself whether the electricity bill was paid or whether the gas would be shut off. You didn't have to worry because you trusted that mom and dad had everything under control. You know what they call that? Childlike faith. Mom and dad took care of clothing, food, shelter, and protection. You were free to be carefree, even when the budget was tight and food and heat were scarce. You didn't worry. You trusted. You had faith that everything was going to be okay. How much greater is the love of your Heavenly Father? How much greater is His care for you, who wants to give you all good things, most especially His heavenly kingdom? Jesus says to you, consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. I don't know about you, but when I consider something, I don't consider it very long. I give it a passing thought. But in the original language, this word consider means contemplate, observe and study. Contemplate, observe, and study how God cares for the ravens and the lilies. The ravens have nothing to worry about. As you heard in our intro this morning, the Lord God gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. The ravens trust in the Creator. They're nothing more than scavengers. They don't need the first course of the meal. They're perfectly happy with the leftovers that they find along the way. And the lilies, they aren't worried about how beautiful they may or may not appear. Yet King Solomon, in all his riches and his glory and splendor, he couldn't begin to compare to the beauty of a simple flower. If God adorns the grass and ordinary flowers and plants with all this beauty, how much more will He lavish His gifts upon mankind? Because mankind is the crown of His creation. Jesus says, how much more will God clothe you, O you of little faith? Brothers and sisters in Christ, being anxious about this life and seeking security in our worldly treasures is a trick. It's a trick from the evil one. He comes whispering in your ear, tempting you to trust in self. So instead, hear the promise of Jesus. Seek God's kingdom, and these things will be added to you. You have Jesus' promise. You see, there are two different kinds of treasures in this world. The one treasure grows old. It rots. It fades away. The other treasure, it is precious. It is priceless, and it lasts for all eternity. In the final verse of last week's gospel text, Jesus said, "The one who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." And now in today's text, Jesus completes the picture, describing the opposite of having treasure in yourself. He illustrates having heavenly, eternal pleasure that comes by believing in Jesus' words, saying, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom." It's your Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you all good things. He gives you everything that you need to provide for this body and life. And most especially, He gives you eternal life in His kingdom, which has no end. And it is all yours by faith in Christ. That God-given faith given to you in baptism and in the preaching of the gospel. That faith we heard about in our epistle text. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That comes from Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the Great Heroes of Faith chapter in the Bible. In it we hear of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, all who lived by faith in the Lord God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But these folks, they heard the word of the Lord, and they believed, and it was counted to them as righteousness. They feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, trusting in the one who is faithful. They lived as strangers on the earth, knowing that God's promise of the kingdom of heaven was their home. They trusted in God's word, having faith that they've received an imperishable treasure stored away for them in heaven. It wasn't something that they earned. It wasn't something that they deserved. But it was and still is a gracious gift from your heavenly Father. So Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Look into your heart and see where that treasure lies. Because where that treasure of the heart is, it also works both ways. For where God's treasure is, there will be his heart also. You are a precious treasure to our Lord God. Wherever you are, there also is God's heart. He sent his only begotten Son into our world that he may give his life to save you. That shows how precious each and every person is. Sending his Son down to protect his treasure, carrying your worries and all your anxieties to Calvary's cross, where they were put to death. God treasures you so much that as Jesus hung on the cross, he turned his back on his very own Son so that you might receive life, forgiveness, and salvation. He didn't send a Savior for the birds or the grass or the flowers. All these things pass away, but you were made in the image of God, in his very likeness. How much more valuable are you than the birds and the flowers? Jesus traded his life for your heavenly treasures, securing victory over sin, death, and the devil. And because of his death and resurrection, today you are rich toward God in heaven, having laid up God laying up that treasure in heaven in advance for you. Did you earn this treasure? No. Do you deserve this treasure? Well, of course not. But because your heavenly Father treasures you, he daily and richly provides all of your needs, just as your earthly parents provided for you. Now, when Jesus says, seek his kingdom, do not be confused that this is a law statement, that seeking his kingdom is a mandatory act that you must do to receive salvation. No, in these words, Jesus is tenderly inviting you to come to where his eternal gifts are poured out. In the waters of baptism, seek God's kingdom. It is there that you were given the gift of faith in the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. You were given that same gift of faith that the heroes of the Old Testament possessed. So seek God's kingdom by daily contrition and repentance, drowning your old Adam and arising and emerging the new creation in Christ. Seek God's kingdom in the preaching of the gospel, contemplating, meditating, and inwardly digesting God's word. For your faith is nurtured and strengthened each time you hear the proclaimed gospel. Seek his kingdom by coming to the Lord's table, where Jesus pours out for you his body and blood, given and shed, which when received by faith, bestows to you life and salvation. We seek God's kingdom right here each week in the divine service, because this is where Jesus promises to come to you, pouring out his precious gifts. So when we view it that way, why should we be anxious? Why should we worry? We no longer need to worry and be anxious about what we are to eat and to drink, because your Heavenly Father cares for you. He knows your needs and he supplies your every need. He has given you his eternal kingdom, and armed with all this knowledge and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can now walk by faith and not by sight. You have the strength to heed Jesus' words where he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Not selling and giving away so you might earn God's favor. No, all of God's favor was earned by Christ on the cross. But it's an act of love, selling and giving away enough to make you trust in God's promises rather than trusting in your earthly treasure. Because the best earthly treasure comes from living as Jesus directs. His ways involve generously helping others and seeing that his gospel is rightly proclaimed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. And if he daily provides for the ravens and the lilies, how much more will he provide for you? You have God's promise. He hasn't withheld anything from you, sacrificing his only begotten Son to give you the treasure of life and salvation. And that is a treasure that does not grow old, it does not rot, it does not fade away. And it comes to you in Jesus' means, through faith in Jesus, and it results in abundant life here in time and in his heavenly kingdom in eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.